A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 128. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are continuing our discussion about Random Quest. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
A strange accident in a physics lab with an explosion involved throws a man into a parallel life, a seeming parallel version of reality with a parallel wife as well.
That's right, yes, parallel lives and parallel wives. A very smart and stylish BBC 4 adaptation of a classic story by a classic British science fiction writer, John Wyndham. This is a 2006 BBC 4 production, and as we mentioned in our last episode, the John Wyndham story comes from a 1961 collection of short stories called Consider Her Ways and Other Stories, I believe, Brian.
Consider Her Ways and Others, I believe, was the title.
All right.
So we had about a 40-page story being adapted into about a one-hour drama. So after visiting the physics lab, Colin Trafford finds himself in this strange world, this sort of different version of reality that is the same and yet not the same. He has this beautiful house he's living in that's, you know, very modern and very stylish with a swimming pool and everything. And he had had just a very ordinary place he was living in before. He was single. Well, now he is in this, you know, very fancy place. And he's married, but his relationship with his wife does not seem to be going very well.
No, not at all. I think putting it not very well is putting it lightly, really. She seems to hate him. So it is, yes, it's a very strange world he's found himself, which is by turns slightly better or slightly worse than the world he knows. And you've mentioned his old address. I think he actually goes back and visits his old address in this new world and finds another family living in his house, and they've never heard of him at that address.
And they've been there for years, of course.
And they've been there for years, that's right. And there are other changes in this world, as well as his smart and stylish lifestyle and the house to go with it. There's other changes hinted at in the whole world. And in fact, history in this particular world that he's found himself in seems to be different. There seems to have been a divergence from some point in the 1980s, I think it says in the programme, Brian, that something's changed.
Yes, I think the earliest difference that Trafford observed was that the Berlin Wall did not fall in the 1980s as it did in our version of history. And exactly what happened with that, we don't know for sure, but that was the first big diversion that that he saw between the two versions. It was actually the 1920s in the original story, which makes sense because that story was from the early 1960s. The world events and politics are different, with things being a little bit similar, but somehow quite different as well. So you have things like a Chinese and NASA joint mission to Jupiter that is in progress, and they show, you know, sort of launch footage and things about this, I believe, actually manned mission to Jupiter that they were in the process of doing.
That's right. And they do it quite cleverly in the show. He has the stylish flat screen television to go with the house, and he turns it on at various points, and we catch clips of news stories. So we see, as you say, a Chinese and NASA joint mission to Jupiter, and we see Condoleezza Rice, but in this version she is the US president, and she is addressing the United Nations because of a world conflict which is taking place with, of all countries, with Japan, which seems quite unusual, but that's what's going on in this version of events.
Yes, Japan appears to have sort of new imperialist types of actions going on and military actions going on in Asia. So there are some rather strange and different things happening there. And of course, Colin is also going and looking on the internet to figure out what the differences are and things like that. So you have bits of that being different as well. And Colin is, of course, looking at his own life and seeing how things are different, but also elements are the same. You know, things from his childhood and from earlier on appear to be the same in both versions of reality. But the obvious things of him being a scientist in his reality, and then in this reality being a science fiction author and a very successful one and having this big fancy house, you know, is quite a significant difference for him as a person, for sure.
That's right. As you say, he does, you know, turn off the television news reports and starts to look at what's going on in this house around him. And we've mentioned that he finds all these books on bookshelves, which he apparently has written. And apparently he is a best-selling science fiction author. We've mentioned he's got this beautiful woman living in the house with him, his wife, but she can't stand him. And he's got the trappings of a successful lifestyle. So there are various events which he doesn't seem to remember planning or organising, but they take place. So he gets visits from his book agent, and he gets a rather stylish party in the stylish house and meets... I guess he meets people from, you know, he knows from the other world, but everything is a bit strange, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. And in this television version, the differences with his relationships and with his wife are very key to things. And it seems he has all kinds of problems with the marriage and the like. And a whole lot of that seems to really be his fault, or Colin Trafford's fault, but not the Colin Trafford we're following, where as he became successful, he maybe didn't always deal with that success in the best way, and it sort of went to his head, it seemed.
Yes, that's right. You know, if you've been following along, I'm sure you've realized what's happened, and the Colin Trafford that exists or has existed in this other world is not the sort of nice character that we know and we've been introduced to. He doesn't seem to have become a very nice and pleasant man. And yet here we have a nice and pleasant Colin Trafford who suddenly finds himself in this house and this lifestyle and this superstar status.
That's right. And he is going and talking to people he knows, but they are different and the relationships are all different. And he is talking to people who he should know, you know, who the Colin of the world he's in would know, but he doesn't know, so he has to sort of cover for that and work his way through those things. Of course, whenever he tries to explain what has happened and that he's in this sort of different version of reality, people think he's actually talking about a science fiction story that he is working on. So that was quite cleverly done. It was well done in this television version.
Absolutely. I think that's a very clever twist. I think in the original short story, the alternate version of Colin Trafford is indeed an author. But I think for this, they added the science fiction. And of course, as you say, Brian, it works perfectly that when he talks to his friends about what seems to happen to him, they all assume he's just coming up with the plot for his next book.
Absolutely.
And of course, again, if you've been following along or if you've had a chance to watch this show already since our last episode, you'll know that the mysterious Ottilie Harsham is indeed his wife in this alternative reality. And she becomes rather puzzled, I think, Brian, by the change in her husband's character. And so obviously there's going to be something different happening there because he's not the man that she knew.
Yes. All of a sudden, Ottilie is finding that her husband cares about her opinions and is interested in what she's doing and not just sort of self-absorbed as he seems to have become in that world. So there's a very interesting dynamic that goes on there, which is quite fun to watch it play out in the show.
It is, actually. I think that part is well done because they don't have an awful lot of screen time to do it, but yet they still manage to sort of suggest a sort of slow change in this couple's relationship as a result of this dramatic event that our Colin Trafford has sort of, you know, found himself part of. So it is quite well done. It does seem to, you know, they show a change in relationship.
That's right. But of course, we had this framing device that we mentioned earlier with Colin Trafford talking to Professor Harsham and looking for Ottilie Harsham. which of course brings us to, he doesn't stay in this alternate world forever. He finds himself back in his original world or his original universe or timeline.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we're not giving anything away because, as we've said, this was set up in the framing device right at the start, where he goes to see Professor Harsham and tries to find the professor's granddaughter, Ottilie. And of course, you know, we see him meet the version of Professor Harsham in the new world, and he's a different character, although he's the same actor. He appears to be different to the version we saw right at the very start of this show. So we know how things are going to sort of progress up to a point. And it's neatly handled again, as I say, not much time to do it, but they get on with it and tell the story.
Yes, that's right.
You could have called last night.
Sorry?
I tried everywhere. Where were you?
I don't know. I can't remember.
The best you can do.
I'm sorry, do I know you?
Oh, for God's sake, Colin, if you're still drunk, go back to bed and sleep it off.
So, Random Quest, the original short story, was from 1961, as we mentioned, from Consider Her Ways and Others, which was a John Wyndham collection of short stories. It sort of ranged from, I think there were a couple of 10, 15-page stories up to about 70 pages. So they were sort of short to medium, but a nice little collection there. And this is definitely a very clever story from John Wyndham that's in it.
And as far as we know, Random Quest has been adapted for the screen three times. So the very first one was an episode of the science fiction anthology series called Out of the Unknown. And it was, in fact, from the third series of that program, which came out in 1969. The episode was called Random Quest, and it was directed by Christopher Barry. Sadly, that episode doesn't survive. Out of the Unknown is a series that sort of only survives in parts, and that particular episode is lost as of this time, Brian.
Yes, unfortunately it is a missing episode. Christopher Barry, we certainly know from his work on Doctor Who as a director and also on the Tripods. So it would have been interesting to see what he would have done with that and what this BBC show would have done with it in the late 60s. So it's unfortunate that we can't see that.
Yeah, would have been nice to have watched it.
There was also a film only a couple of years later from 1971 called Quest for Love, which was based on Random Quest. And it starred Tom Bell, Joan Collins, and Denholm Elliott. Yeah, I actually haven't seen it. It is coming out on a new DVD release, but it has not yet been released.
That's right. Unfortunately, we haven't had a chance to watch this version. Whether we would want to watch a version with Joan Collins, I'm not entirely sure. But as ever, if any of our listeners can help us out, if you've seen the 1971 film Quest for Love, if you can remember it, then we'd love to get some comments about it by email or on the webpage or on the Facebook group.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be lovely to hear a little more about that. And if you have seen the 1969 version from Out of the Unknown, which I believe the only opportunity would have been for the original broadcast in 1969, but if you saw that and you remember it, please tell us what you thought of it. We would love to hear about that.
Yes, and please download your brain for us. We need that episode. And then the final version is this 2006 BBC Four production that we've been talking about. So bringing it right up to date, shifting the story forward in time, doing the time shift of the divergence in history that we've mentioned, and adding a few little twists and tweaks for a 21st century story, and quite a neat production, a one-hour episode.
Yes, absolutely. So I think that brings us nicely into some of our thoughts about it, the good and the bad, if you will. Eamon, what did you like about this adaptation, this drama, Random Quest?
Okay, shall we start with the writing and adaptation? I think it is a fairly straightforward modernization of John Wyndham's story, but, you know, it does have the benefits that it's such a good story itself. And I think Richard Fell did a good job of adapting it and bringing it forward in time and giving it that sort of 21st century twist. So, yes, I like the writing. What about yourself?
I think modernization is definitely the right word for it. I think it was done quite well. They did more than just bring it to a more recent time frame. They really sort of changed the style of it a little bit. But yeah, I think what they ended up with was quite good. It has more of a focus on the relationships and Colin Trafford's relationships with different people in his life much more so than you had in the original one, although it was certainly an element of it in the short story as well. But it becomes much more about Trafford and how he relates to these other characters, where the original short story was a little bit more about the logic and the narrative of how history was different and how that affected different things. It did feel like a bit of a loose adaptation to me because of those changes in focus, but it certainly was a good script and a good way of doing this story.
Okay, that's interesting. What about the production, the look and the sound of this adaptation, Brian?
Well, the word that comes to my mind for that is definitely stylish. It has a very sort of stylish and stylized look to it, which is very sort of current and modern, which a lot of it I quite liked. They get into these things where they will show some imagery or scenery of one type or another with music overlaying it, which I thought was a little bit overdone, but it was kind of interesting in its own way as well.
Yes, those are the moments of Samuel West as Colin Trafford wandering around this beautiful house and looking at his beautiful clothes and his beautiful lifestyle and his books and everything fabulous. And as you say, they play some sort of suitably modern music over that. There are slightly odd moments. It does feel at times like either a strange art film or even maybe an estate agent's video of a house. I'm sure the house in question went up in value after this particular production.
Oh, quite possibly.
Yeah.
And you have bits of the city that they'll show, and sometimes it's with him there, sometimes it's not. They show sort of pictures of space, of starscape, sort of visualizing like the sort of parallel universe concept. So they get into some, like I say, very stylized kinds of things with these little interlude types of things, which I must say I enjoyed that and accepted it more when I watched it for a second time and sort of had a feeling that some of that was coming up, rather than when I first watched it, I found it more just a little bit odd. But, you know, an interesting approach.
Yes, it is. That's right. And, you know, we've talked about it at length, but the beautiful house and his beautiful clothes and his parties and his friends, we sort of want that lifestyle in a way. It's very attractive looking, isn't it?
Well, that's part of what they're doing with this. That's clever, because they are taking his lifestyle in his original universe or timeline as being sort of very average and, you know, working his 9-to-5 job and having a very average, small kind of place he's living in and not being in a relationship, and then going to this very swanky, stylish type of lifestyle where he has, you know, the beautiful wife and the beautiful house and, you know, the lifestyle where he is writing and doing his own thing and going out and playing tennis in the middle of the day and this sort of very luxurious type of lifestyle. So when he is back in his original reality, you can understand why he is trying to get back to some elements of this other version of the world.
Okay. But the one element he really wants back is the beautiful Ottilie. So I guess that brings us to the performances and the acting here in this show. Samuel West and Kate Ashfield, I think, doing a pretty good job as the couple, the central couple. Quite a believable sort of relationship, I think, Brian.
Yes, that was done quite well. And his confusion as to all of the changes and her reactions to that, and then her own sort of confusion and adapting to how he's different and how, you know, all of a sudden he's this caring person, more like the person she met originally. Those things are all done quite well, I thought. And, you know, her reaction that when he comes in and has no idea what's going on and doesn't even seem to know her, she just says, you know, oh, if you're still drunk from last night, just go sleep it off. You know, those types of moments were done quite well, especially seeing that they had so little time in this piece. They got quite a bit out of those characters and those performances, and that was nice.
It was, yes. And the other performances, I think, are all pretty good. We've got, you know, good people in this production. And really, I don't think there were any difficult performances at all. It was all great stuff.
That's right. I quite like David Burke as Professor Harsham in both versions of reality, as he was the one who we see in both versions, and he is very much a very different character in those two. And that was quite interesting to watch. He did a nice job with that.
He did, yes. Very good as the two different versions. And I also liked Sean Parks as the friend Martin, you know, again, playing slightly different versions of the same character and doing a good job. And we've seen him in the new Doctor Who as well. So he's always another reliable screen presence.
Yes, he was much more similar in the two different versions. But again, it was nice to see how they did that.
Okay, slight changes in how they handle the difference in the two worlds' histories in the book and in the TV version. Did that cause you any problems, Brian?
I liked what they did with the history in this one. It would have been nice to see a little more of it and a little more of what was different in politics, but in the history of it since it's changed. There was a little more of that sort of thing in the book, in the short story, and it would have been nice to see a little more of this set of changes of history from what they were doing here.
Yes, that's what I wanted as well. I wanted a bit more of the alternate history stuff because that's always fascinating. And I could have done with a bit more of that, of how history had diverged in this parallel world. Which actually brings me to the question of parallel worlds. Have we covered that on British Invaders? I know it sort of crops up in things like The Hitchhiker's Guide and Doctor Who from time to time.
We have done very little with that. I can't think of anything else that we looked at that focused on sort of alternate reality or alternate versions of history and this sort of thing. Something that was interesting with that, the original short story was from 1961, which meant that the science fiction idea of the parallel universe was much less established at that point. And in the story, the short story, they never actually mention parallel universe or alternate timeline. They don't use these kinds of terms that we're used to. They don't sort of fall back on that, what is now a common idea. They build up the idea sort of right from the ground level of there being decision points that change things and how this version of the world is different from that version of the world and there being sort of the different perspective of the observer, so how you would go from one to the other. It sort of gives you that concept without getting into any of the technobabble, really, and without getting into these sort of ideas of how it would work. It does it in a very abstract way, which I kind of liked in the short story. And in this television version, they sort of fall back to ideas that are more common now, things like quantum theory differences and parallel universes and these sorts of ideas. So it brings in a bit more of those scientific aspects and the common science fiction ideas, which I think was fine. I think it was an okay way of doing it, but it was definitely a different approach than what we saw in that original story. And I think given what they were doing here, I think it made a lot of sense to do it that way.
Okay. John Wyndham, as ever, being ahead of the head of his time. And I'm just betting that one of our listeners or some of our listeners know more about parallel universes in British science fiction and can fill us in. So please do drop by on Facebook or the webpage and let us know, particularly about television versions of parallel universes.
Yes, there are some other things out there that go into that a little bit more. And at this point, it's true. We haven't covered that much of it. So it's nice to get to this one now.
Okay. So we should get to our recommendations about BBC4's version of Random Quest, Brian. How would you like to go on this one?
Okay, I will recommend this one. I think it was very well done. I think it is a little bit over-stylized. That is the sort of weakness of it for me in terms of the musical sections and different things that it did. But that was not a huge problem. And I think overall it was done very well. I think the short story they were using was a good choice. It wasn't an entirely faithful adaptation, but it was a really nice presentation of the ideas and the fundamentals of that story. So very entertaining production, well done, smart script. So yeah, I would say if you can get a copy of this, if you can get access to it, absolutely, take a look.
Yes, I'm going to give it the recommendation as well. I really like this version. I think if you can get past the slightly estate agent's video of the house moments, otherwise this is a really good production, really enjoyable, some interesting ideas, great performances. So yeah, I would say go and watch it on YouTube and then jump back and let us know what you thought about it.
And if you happen to be the BBC, please release this as a DVD. It would be great to have it.
Yes, as ever on British Invaders, we'd like to have this stuff put out so that we can buy it for ourselves.
Indeed. So, in summary, Random Quest was originally a short story by John Wyndham, and in this case, it was also a one-hour TV drama that focused on a physicist, Colin Trafford, who, in an accident with an accelerator, is apparently shunted into a parallel version of reality, where he finds that a number of things are different. He is no longer a physicist. He has been a successful science fiction author, and he is married, but has a rather unhappy relationship in his marriage. And we learn about all these differences and see how he deals with this, and eventually is shunted back into his own reality and finds that the woman that he had fallen in love with in this alternate version of reality may or may not exist in his own version. And we find him searching for her. So we get this very interesting story told in one-hour form about these characters and these parallel versions of reality.
It's a great and stylish little production from BBC Four. Please check it out. Please let us know what you think.
Oh, absolutely.
And as ever, please join us again next time. We're jumping all the way back to the 1960s, to children's television, and to an ITV production, Pathfinders in Space. Really right back to the sort of birth of science fiction on children's television.
Yes, this is 1960 and 61, so it's going back to a much earlier style of children's television and children's science fiction. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to take a look at how things were done back then.
Absolutely.
So, you can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there. So, thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much, and until next time, this is Eamon in England saying, this is not your beautiful house. This is not your beautiful wife.